Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm Amy Stevenson. Have you heard of the word strangles? It doesn't sound great, and it's something that we're quite scared of when it comes to our horses. We've heard about it. We don't really know what it is, though. So Chris Wright from B&W Equine Vets is going to explain all about strangles and some other infectious diseases too. What are the signs, symptoms, and how do we treat these infectious diseases? This is Horse Hour. You might have heard of the word strangles, and to me it's quite a scary word because I've heard it. I know that it hurts our horses, but I don't know anything about it. So Chris Wright is joining us today. He's the director of B&W Equine Vets. He's an advanced practitioner in equine internal medicine and veterinary diagnostic imagery. How are you, Chris?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, Amy?
Good, I'm good, thank you. That description sounds quite complicated. In us simpleton terms, what does that actually mean?
It means that I have done, since qualifying, I've done further study in imaging, which is predominantly x-rays and CT now, and also equine medicine. And I completed an internship at the Bristol University in the early 90s, which is where I got my interest in medicine from.
Oh, wow. So taking photos of the inside of a horse then means that, is that how you get to see the diseases and learn about them?
No. The two subjects are actually quite separate. Imaging was really predominantly looking at bones and orthopaedic disease in horses, and the medicine was tagged on with it. So they're quite different subjects, and I just happen to have an interest in both of them.
Oh, and you're quite passionate about infectious diseases, aren't you?
I am. I do a lot of the work with infectious diseases at the hospital. I find them quite interesting, and I find often the public perception of them or misperception of them is also quite fascinating.
Yes, come on. What misperceptions have you heard? That we're all completely crazy and we panic at the slightest
leaf? No, not at all. and certainly strangles does cause a lot of panic when it breaks out on a yard. But a common misconception with strangles is that it's a virus, but actually it's a bacteria.
Oh, really?
It does make a subtle difference to how we manage it. So obviously, because it's a bacterial disease, there may be a place in treating this condition with antibiotics, but we can talk about that later. Whereas obviously with viral disease, antibiotic usage is at best controversial and probably also ineffective in a lot of cases. So we can do something with antibiotics in horses with strangles. But also people worry that strangles can spread great distances, like foot and mouth disease does. Well, that's also not true. Strangles is a disease, although it's very infectious locally. So you need close contact with an infected animal, nose-to-nose contact, really, or contact with something like an infected feed bowl or water trough. But it won't spread miles and miles in the air, unlike foot and mouth disease. And to some degree, equine influenza also carried on the air a long way, but strangles will not spread a long way that way.
That's really good to hear, because for my personal circumstances, I live near the New Forest, and there's this massive fear. You're always hearing people say, don't let the horses drink from the water, because the New Forest wild ponies could have strangles.
Yes, and I think There's probably some truth in that. I'm not familiar with strangles in the New Forest because I don't work down there, but certainly water troughs, the strangles will survive in the environment for probably up to about a week maximum if it's in a shady, damp environment. It certainly doesn't like bright sunshine, and it certainly doesn't like being dry. But otherwise, it's usually from close contact between horses. There's also a potential spread by what's called fomites, and a fomite would be something like a veterinary surgeon's shoes or dirty instruments, clothing, that sort of thing. That will spread it. But again, strangles won't survive for long on your clothes because it doesn't like being dry.
So what do you do then as a vet when you go and see a horse that has strangles? How do you then, do you have to clean yourself before you go and see the next horse?
Yes. So if we were asked to go and look at a horse that had suspect strangles, the first thing we'd do, we would try and do it the last call of the day, and then go home, shower and wash our clothes. If the horse is particularly sick, or we were not aware that it was a potential strangles case, we all carry paper suits in our car. So if there's any suggestion that we're going to treat an infectious disease, we will usually don a paper suit, which is disposable, and usually overshoes as well. Mm. If we don't have overshoes, we'll dip our feet in something called Vercon disinfectant to make sure we don't spread the disease, because that wouldn't be a good thing for a veterinary surgeon to do.
Well, you touched on suspect strangles, and I've heard that before. So that's obviously before a vet has confirmed that it is strangles. But is suspect strangles something that we need to be aware of?
Yeah, I think the problem with strangles is that although we're probably all aware of what the classic signs of strangles are, so horses with classic strangles have high temperature, they're off their feed, they have swellings in their throat which will then burst and drain pus. And usually that's fairly obvious what that is. But unfortunately, there's also some horses will get very, very mild strangles where they may be slightly off colour for a few hours, or not even that. And they actually have the disease and they can pass it on, but they don't really show any signs. And then, of course, we have what's called the carrier status, which is probably how the disease persists in the UK horse population. And a carrier horse is a horse that's had the disease, shows no clinical signs and has recovered completely, but intermittently will shed the bacteria in nasal discharge, and so can spread it onto a yard and can spread it around the yard. But that's not the horse that you wouldn't pick that horse out as being ill in any way. They're usually very well. Mm. And that can be quite a challenge.
Yeah, is it a bit like the flu? So do they get runny noses?
So horses with classic strangles, they will be just, the first thing you notice is that they have a temperature, and usually the thing you notice is they're off their feed and dull and miserable. A few days later, they will then develop a nasal discharge, which is usually quite pussy, and then they can develop swellings underneath their chin and also at the back of their throat. If the disease is bad, the term strangles comes from the fact that the glands, which are the swellings in their neck, swell and can partly occlude their airway, and so some horses, if they're severely affected, will make almost a snoring noise when they breathe in, and that's because it's strangling their airway. Mm. But they're usually fairly obvious. As I say, that the difficult ones are the very mild cases where they don't show those signs. They're perhaps just a little off colour for a day or so, and by the time you thought, oh, I'll call the vet, they've actually got better.
Oh gosh! But by that point, they've spread it, haven't they?
Yes, but they will spread the disease, and so will the carriers. But you wouldn't actually realise that's what they had.
It's not like you can say to a horse, how are you feeling? Are you feeling a bit under the weather,
No, but usually, if you've got a horse that loves its tea and you go to feed it in the evening and it looks at it and says, I'm terribly sorry, but I'm not prepared to eat that today, you've got an idea something's amiss.
Mm. So,
and certainly I think that's very useful when you have a confirmed outbreak of strangles on a yard. I think that's a very useful thing to do, is to start taking their temperature and just observe them eating. They should be eating as normal. Temperature should be normal. And if they spike a temperature or take off the feed, I think that's a cause to call your veterinary surgeon.
And can you remind us, please, how to take a horse's temperature? Because it would be so good for us to be able to do these kind of to do this before you get there, so we can say, right, okay, he's off his feed, he's not feeling great, this was his temperature at 9 o'clock this morning. So when you get there, you as a vet can tell the difference, can't you?
Yes. I think taking a horse's temperature is relatively straightforward. Nowadays we would tend to use the digital thermometers, And a normal horse's temperature is anything up to about 38.2, 38.3 degrees.
Mm.
So it's a little bit higher than it would be in people. And certainly if you get above 38.5, that's an abnormal temperature for a horse. And usually by 38.7, they're starting to look a little bit miserable and their certain appetite will be affected normally.
And is it still pop it up his bum?
Yes, pop it.
How else am I going to say that?
If you are worried that your horse might kick, just let the vet do it. There's no point putting yourself at risk. It's not worth it. But if you feel you can do it safely, certainly pop in a digital thermometer up their bum with a little bit of KY jelly or sometimes even a little bit of spit just to help slide it in is a useful thing to do.
Okay, so we've then found out that sadly our horse has got strangles. You've come down and said, "I'm really sorry." It's the average version,
the typical version with the swollen glands, the runny nose, and off colour.
Yeah. What would we do then?
Right. So I think the first thing to do is to try and stop the disease spreading. So obviously, if you're in a situation where you have one horse in one field, that's easy because it has no. Colleagues to spread it to, but if it's a horse on a yard, then it's very important to isolate it to stop the disease spreading. We would then strongly suggest that we give the horse bute, like Calpol for ponies, really. Mm-hmm. We want to bring their temperature down and make them feel better. At this stage, we, as a practice, we would tend to avoid antibiotics, and that's controversial, but we tend to avoid them because I think sometimes that can make the disease actually last longer than it needs to. If we can manage the horse away from antibiotics, we will do that. So we will give them bute, we will isolate them, and we will make sure that they're as comfortable as possible, feed them sloppy feed, and try not to spread the disease from that horse to other horses, so isolate them, and also wear some disposable overalls, or if you have one horse, then just when you go home, just change your pants.
So you said before this is a bacterial disease, this isn't a virus.
Yes, it's a bacterial disease. It's caused by a bacterium called Streptococcus equi, var equi. So it's Streptococcus that affects horses.
Right, okay. So how would you then, once you've isolated the horse, how would you then get rid of the bacteria without using antibiotics?
So, as a rule, most horses, and certainly probably more than 90% of horses, will get better all by themselves. They will fight off the infection and they will then develop a reasonable degree of immunity. Certainly in healthy older horses, they have quite a reasonable immunity to strangles. And they'll fight off themselves without any further intervention. If the horses become very distressed or extremely unwell, we would then have a discussion about whether we're going to use antibiotics or not.
Mm.
They do help, but they do have potential problems with their use.
Oh, really?
So basically, it's usually a self-limiting disease in the vast majority of horses.
Well, that's good, because the fear then must come from the fact the words like outbreak. We've got a strangles outbreak. None of us actually know what happens once the horse has got strangles. It's just the fear of getting it. But it sounds to me like that, well, you know, it will last about 4 days, a bit like man flu. They'll eventually get over it.
Yeah. I couldn't possibly comment on man flu. But I think strangles does... You do need to be aware of strangles. It, as we said, I think, you know, around 90, perhaps slightly more, percent of horses with strangles will make uneventful recoveries by themselves. But of course, that does leave, let's say, 5% that can go on to get further problems. There is a condition called bastard strangles, which is very serious and life-threatening. And that's when strangles bacteria affects the glands not in the head. So perhaps in the abdomen, or sometimes I've seen them in the legs as well. That is a very serious condition and is very difficult to treat. There's also a condition the horse can get after they've had strangles, a condition called purpura, where your horse has strangles, it appears to make an uneventful recovery, and then perhaps 2 to 3 weeks later, you start to get these odd swellings, their legs swell up or their face can swell up, and they get sometimes painful swellings down their sides. And that is also a problem associated with strangles, and that is what's called an immune-mediated disease, where the horse's antibodies to the strangles, it's produced so many that they start to affect the blood vessels, and they can leak protein out of their skin, and that can also be quite serious as well.
So it is
a serious condition.
So we've gone through the process then of, you know, giving them some time out, we've isolated them, they've then got over it. So you can't ride them, they've got to have, I'm presuming, pure rest and relaxation and recovery time.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So what we would then say is, if assuming the horse makes an uneventful recovery, which I'd say the vast majority of them do, you're then at the stage where really you need to prove that your horse hasn't become a carrier. Because although most horses recover uneventfully from strangles, they can go on and become carriers, and that's not an issue for them, but it's an issue for other horses they come into contact with. And it's very important that we do try and identify these carriers, because we can treat them afterwards. So what we would always suggest is that 3 weeks after your horse has recovered, as far as you can tell, so there are no swellings, there are no discharge, no coughing, no nasal.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Discharge, they're eating well, and in every possible respect that they're well, we would suggest that we test them to see if they're carriers. And the way we would do that is, the best way to do that is to pop an endoscope up their nose and into what's called their guttural pouches, which are two little air-filled sacs at the back of their throat, because this is where horses that become carriers tend to hide the bacteria, and every now and again they will shed it and infect other animals. And so we would strongly advise that they're tested to make sure that they're not, that they haven't become carriers.
Oh my gosh. And then if they are, you can give them antibiotics or something to get rid of it.
So if they are carriers, what's happened is that the discharge that was coming down their nose has started to thicken up, and has, rather than being runny, has become a little bit more like cheese, and then has gone on, as it's dried out, it's gone through the cottage cheese stage and has actually become almost like Parmesan, so hard balls of pus, and these sit in what's called their guttural pouch, and every now and again a little bit breaks off. So we try to dissolve them and flush them out of the nose, and if you can get rid of those what's called chondroids, the horses usually become clear quite quickly. It usually takes 1 to 2 weeks to clear a carrier. In exceptional circumstances, you actually have to go in and actually fish the chondroids out, which can be quite involved, but most of them you can soften them with saline, etc., and get them to discharge out of the nose. And once they're out of the guttural pouch, you can quite quickly clear them. We would then put some antibiotics into the pouch, and that will usually clear them quite quickly.
You're so calming, Chris. You make it sound so, you know, not scary anymore.
I think there is a lot of panic around strangles, and I don't think social media always helps. But we need to be informed about the disease, and we need to take a pragmatic and sensible approach to it. It can be serious, but most of the time, I think the panic exceeds the severity of the disease.
Because aren't there rules where we have to, if we think that we've, so that going back to the suspect strangles, I've seen, you know, yards putting on social media on Facebook, sadly, we think we have suspect strangles, and then if we get confirmation, we'll let you know. And then when it's confirmed strangles, they then put a post saying we've got confirmed strangles. And a rumour I heard, I'm hoping you can confirm, is this a legal obligation?
This is not a legal obligation. You do not have to notify strangles unless you're a racing yard and you race under rules, in which case you do have an obligation to notify the British Horse Racing Board. But pleasure horses, there is no obligation to notify strangles, and that is probably one of the reasons why the condition, certainly as far as I can see, will not be eradicated from the UK. I think those yards that do notify people either on Facebook or other social media, they're being extremely responsible, and I think we should applaud them for doing it, because it is very detrimental to their business. For all the yards that do notify people, there are also yards that keep a lid on it and don't tell anybody.
Well, I agree with you. I think they should notify people because ultimately it's the welfare of the horses that we care about the most. And
absolutely,
you've actually, as a rider, someone that goes to that yard, you've got a lot more respect for that yard owner for saying, you know what, I'm sorry, we do have this. It's not our fault. We're going to deal with it in the right way. It'll take about 6 weeks. As soon as we're clear of it, you are all very welcome back.
I think that is absolutely that is the way to manage this condition. We should support these yard owners where it does break out, because it's not their fault.
No.
And also, I think it's very important to remember that if you're on a large yard or a livery yard where strangles breaks out,
yes,
almost certainly the horse that develops the disease, it caught it from somewhere, and it may well have caught it from a horse on the yard that's a carrier that no one knows about. So don't point the finger at the person whose horse has the disease and just spontaneously develop it. It's caught.
This is the thing, it could come from anywhere, so it might not even have come from somewhere at the yard. They could have had a
Absolutely.
Show on, it could be someone from miles
yes.
away that
yes.
just don't know. So I guess it's about us working together to try and prevent the outbreak, as it were, getting any worse.
Yes, I think that's... I think when strangles breaks out on a multi-horse yard, that is one of the most difficult things, is to get everyone together, to get everyone to pull together, and to get everyone to agree to do the same thing. The yard owner, I think, should close the yard down, but as I say, they're not obliged to. There are no laws that say they have to. I think
not close it down forever, just until the strangles is cleared.
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah.
Just close it down until the strangles is cleared, and get everyone in the yard to agree on the yard policy, and get everyone to toe the line, because that way that's how we'll minimise the spread of the disease, and we'll minimise horse suffering, which of course everyone wants to do.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for explaining strangles. I hear there are a few other infectious diseases that we need to keep an eye out for too.
Yeah. So the classic one obviously will be influenza. We certainly want to keep an eye out for that. We do become quite complacent about influenza because we vaccinate horses against it, and it isn't that common, but that's probably because we vaccinate. And what happens is, as the vaccination levels go down, the chance of a significant influenza outbreak increase. So we do need to watch out for influenza.
And when you vaccinate, I very nearly missed my yearly vaccination for blackjack. And
yes.
And the vet said you have to get it done within that year period. Otherwise, you have to start a three-year cycle again. Could you explain to us about this three-year cycle? Because it affects you if you're competing, doesn't it?
It absolutely does affect you if you're competing. So it's actually a three vaccination cycle. So if you're the jockey club rules, which is what most events are run under for vaccination, the jockey club rules say that your horse should be vaccinated against influenza. the way to get your horse vaccinated against influenza is it must have a primary vaccination, let's say today, a second vaccination 21 to 92 days later, and it must not go before or after that, and then a third vaccination 150 to 215 days after the second one. So that's one now, one in a month, and one 6 months after that. That's what's called a primary course of three vaccinations, and then it has annual boosters afterwards. Your horse is considered covered 7 clear days after the second vaccination.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, it does.
We call them jockey club rules because it's a jockey club that brought them in. Mm. But most competitions are held in the jockey club rules.
But if you miss, then if you're over your date, your expiry date, I guess. So say your vaccination, your booster is due on the 31st of January, and you don't get it done until you're a bit late and don't get it done until February, then means you have to restart your three vaccination cycle from the very beginning again.
Yes, you have to start again because once your horse goes out of date, it will always be out of date until you've had the course of three vaccinations then.
Okay. Now, does that mean, how will that affect you when you're competing? Obviously, you won't be able to ride within that six-month early period of the vaccinations, but does it matter at what point you do this three vaccination cycle?
No, it doesn't matter when you do it, but as soon as you're out of date, you remain out of date until you have had the first two vaccinations.
Right. Okay. So
normally, out of date.
So normally, you do it when the horses are foal, not a foal, but then is it about three that you start it?
Different people start them at different times. We would normally advocate starting vaccination from 4 months old.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 months, and then say you might have a six-year-old now, and you missed a deadline and thought, oh no, I'm out of date now. So then you can easily at six start that three cycle again.
You just restart.
Great.
I think the disease that probably causes one of the most problems, particularly if you're thinking of breeding, will be equine herpes virus. Equine herpes virus is type 1, is a very common, very, very common virus. And the thing that the reason it causes problems is because it can manifest itself in different ways. Herpes virus type 1 can be a mild cough in most horses. Mm. It can be an irritating cough and cause poor performance in competition horses. It can cause abortion in pregnant mares, and more importantly, it can cause what we describe as an abortion storm, so an outbreak of abortions on a stud farm, which is probably the worst place it can ever break out. And unusually, but it does happen, there is what's called a paralytic form where the horse can become very weak behind, and sometimes it can collapse very quickly and they can actually become unable to stand.
Oh.
That is unusual. It's quite rare to see the paralytic form, but the mild respiratory form is extremely common.
What's bizarre is that all the symptoms sound so similar. So it's a cough, it's a runny nose, it's a feeling a bit
so
weak.
Herpes virus type 1 is a cough, a runny nose, and a little bit off colour, and then usually they recover quite quickly.
Right, but that's similar to the flu. So, you know.
Absolutely. Influenza tends to be slightly more severe. The signs are slightly more severe. They have a really high temperature. They're very, very miserable with influenza. Although they're unhappy with herpes virus, they're more unhappy with influenza. Mm. Herpes virus tends to be quite common. Influenza as a disease is relatively uncommon.
Gosh. So any of those symptoms then, we phone you straight away and say...
There are a whole group of respiratory viruses that are out there. Most of them in themselves are very, very mild and self-limiting.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Thank you. You've relieved my worries a little bit because the slightest sign of a little runny nose of Blackjack, and I'm going, oh, no, is he okay? What is it? But that's quite normal. You know, when it's cold, I'm guessing it's normal for them to have a bit of a runny nose. We don't need to go panicking.
And I think the other thing to say is that I think in reality, in the sort of horses that we would see day to day, that, you know, the pleasure horses, probably the commonest cause of coughing is not infectious disease at all. It's poor stable hygiene and dust, a dust cough that you'll tend to see in the winter. That would be very, very common. And of course, that's not infectious at all.
No. And on top of that, I'm seeing a lot of horses that are coughing when being ridden after eating hay, because they have more hay in the winter.
Yes, they have more hay, they're housed more, and sometimes get less exercise. And exercise is very helpful for those horses. It really does help to clear their airways. And the classic horse with the dust cough is a horse that coughs a little bit in the winter, not so much in the summer. Coughs particularly when you first take it out, and then sort of, we say, it's clearing its chest, and then they don't cough again until the next time you take them out. You'll sometimes see a runny nose, and sometimes in the morning when you come to feed the horse, there are some little pools of discharge on the floor, with sort of quite chewy bits of discharge on the floor. Horses, they're usually very bright, very happy, and you know, you just put it down as a dust cough, which is what it is, but it's usually quite mild, but it's very, very common.
And not infectious. Good.
And the older your horse gets, the more likely it is to get that condition.
My goodness. Well, Chris, there are so many conditions. I think we could probably talk for a whole year. but thank you very much for joining us today. And I'm very grateful because your team at B&W Equine Vets are joining us every month with a new problem, a new veterinary problem, and you're going to give us some advice on it. So today it's infectious diseases. Next month it will be colic and the signs of colic. So thank you for your time of your team.
You're very welcome.
If we'd like to follow your team on Twitter, it's at BW Equine Vets, and they're quite often putting out tips and advice.
Yes, we do. And we also have a Facebook page as well.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, we'll find you on there. Well, thank you very much, Chris. And the best of luck. I hope you have a lovely day.
You're very welcome. Take care.
See you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Next week, you can hear Troels Dahlberg on Shetland ponies. He's written a book all about the Shetland pony, and we're going to learn about the breed, the history, where the Shetlands came from, what their personalities are like, how we can look after them. And Troels is very, very passionate about the breed, and I'm really looking forward to finding out more about them, because we see them everywhere, you know, like in the Shetland Grand National. But what are they really like as ridden ponies for youngsters, and also as a pet? You can catch up with previous episodes of the Horse Hour podcast on our website, horsehour.co.uk. Also, while you're there, there's loads of information on our education hub on winter nutrition from Smart Horse Feeds. Tricia from Childrick Saddles has given us advice on how to look after your saddle in the cold weather. And then my favourite thing of all is our new Spotify playlist. It's called Horse Hour Winter Hacking, and it's all our favourite songs to go riding with your horse. You can include your favourite songs too, just by tweeting us. Tweet using hashtag Horse Hour and your favourite song, and we will add it to the playlist for you. I hope you have a really good week, and I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter Mondays 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag Horse Hour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.